As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Tuesday. Just sports bros. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook is not right over there. He is in Italy. May even be in Rome by now. Don't know. He'll be out for a couple weeks. Buck is here. Thank you. What was that about?
That was unintentional, but it actually timed out okay.
Good little misfire.
Yeah, good little misfire. Trying to play a Sook drop.
I do knew that.
Coming up this hour. What do we have this hour? We'll get into the forgotten star, Kawhi Leonard. Fun with audio, Lee Corso edition. And Tuesday sampler, including the latest on Shannon Sharp. Got that in the notes. You were just asking about the Karen Reed doc.
Yeah.
That's on, I think it's on Max.
It's on Max, that's right. It's a 5-part series. It's a little long, but it's pretty intriguing.
That's a good one. That's the one that Will Ortner brought up last time Sook was out.
He was filling in.
Yeah, he said he was the one that recommended it, and I did take a peek at it, and it got me. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whodunit murder trial.
Yeah.
It is a murder trial.
Yeah.
I mean, but now I think she's going on I think the second trial is starting, if I'm not mistaken, it started recently.
Yeah, it's still in the public eye. And I mean, I guess, spoiler alert, we haven't come to a resolution on it, but the documentary is all about the crime or accident that happened. That's to be debated. And the initial trial that goes through.
Yeah, dude, it's good. And I think I'm going to tell you in the club if I think she did it. And I want to know if you think she did it.
It's a really interesting case.
Because that's really what it boils down to. Did she do it? And do you think she did? I don't... It is really interesting. Well, also...
I think there's plausible arguments on both sides.
Yeah, it's very gray.
Yeah, because everyone was hammered.
Yes. They were
Boston idiots.
They were all housed. Okay, so we're also going to get some audio. Australia's favorite Twinnies strike again. If you haven't heard... Paula and Bridget Powers.
Of Brisbane.
Dude, they are a delight. And you are going to hear from them in our club tonight from 6 to 7. But right now, let's get to the hot, very hot, smoking hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com.
I got something going.
Number 5.
Number 5.
Boy, college football is sending some strange games to Ireland these days. This year's season opener in Dublin will be Kansas State, Iowa State.
Hell yeah. That's what they're excited about over there. Wildcat Cyclones clash.
So weird. Now, I mean, at least when they send Notre Dame, it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But now we know who's going for 2026. So next year's game in Dublin will feature TCU and North Carolina.
Why?
The Frogs are the designated home team. I don't know why.
Do we need to be doing this?
I don't know that we do, because it doesn't seem like they're doing a very good job of it.
Like, at least with the NFL, I understand, at least right now, that seems like a more global game and trying to spread it, and maybe eventually you put a team in Europe or something like that. But I struggle to see the value in putting two mediocre teams there to start the season.
I think that's fair. I just don't know what kind of reception it gets in Dublin. Like, are they just happy to have... They fill the stadium no matter who's playing? If not,
well, just
as important,
right. Does it make any difference to people tuning in on TV whether it's being played in Dublin or being played
number
in Manhattan, Kansas?
No, but the only thing I like about it is it's on early in the morning, like right when you get up.
Yeah, that's
kind
great.
Of nice.
That part's great.
So those two schools, TCU and North Carolina, they actually opened this season against one another. They play Monday night of Labor Day in Chapel Hill. So they'll play over in Dublin for their second half of their home and home next year. College football playoff schedule for the upcoming season will include a quarterfinal triple header on New Year's Day, they announced today. So the Cotton Bowl will be Wednesday night, December 31st. That is the first quarterfinal. So New Year's Eve, you will have one quarterfinal of the playoff. Then the three other quarterfinals will be on Thursday, January 1st. The Orange Bowl will be at 9, the Rose Bowl at 1, and the Sugar Bowl at 5. As Buck alluded to earlier, a lot of people upset that they've moved the Rose Bowl game time from 2 to 1 p.m., but I don't know, whatever. Then the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl host the two semis the next week, and the championship game is in Miami on Monday, January 19th.
Number three.
Well, it's official. UCLA quarterback Joey Aguilar will transfer to Tennessee.
I love this.
This marks a swap of quarterbacks between the two schools.
Yes.
Aguilar's NIL deal with the Vols, close to $1.2 million, they're saying. That is the same as what he was getting with the Bruins. This is a kid that threw for almost 6,800 yards and 56 touchdowns over the last two seasons at App State. He has 1 year of eligibility left. Now, why do you love this so much?
Oh, I just like the idea that it didn't... I mean, here's a kid that essentially... was going to get his start at the bigger school, and then he gets ousted by this debacle over in Tennessee because Nico wasn't a team guy. Well, now they find their team guy who got replaced by Nico. I think it's a fun little story, and now we almost get like proof of which school got the better end, because the proof will be in the... I mean, assuming this kid plays for Tennessee this year, who probably needs a quarterback because they don't have Nico, we'll know right away who got the better end.
And Tennessee has a better team and better coach. Yeah. So I'm sure that it will look like Aguilar wins this.
Number two.
But you're right. It's a good little storyline. Hopefully they meet in a bowl game or something. I don't know. Is UCLA supposed to be any good? Probably not.
No, I would imagine not.
What do the sports books know? A new favorite to land Shedeur Sanders in the draft. Steelers have moved past the Saints. Pittsburgh said today the Aaron Rodgers saga will not affect how they go about their draft and if they select a quarterback. It does seem set that Cam Ward will be the number one pick to the Titans, but now reports are both the Browns and the Giants are fielding calls for the number two and number three picks. The targets there seem to be either Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or Ashton Jeanty. The draft is tomorrow. No, it's not. It's Thursday on the fan. And Friday, kind of, on the fan. Yeah. And Saturday, kind of, on the fan. So we have the draft for you. So just cool your panties.
Come too far together to stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shut it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, out since March 18th with a blood clot in his calf, Damian Lillard is back for the Bucks tonight. And they are closing the gap on the Pacers. They were just down 16, but now as they near the end of the first half, it is Pacers 66, Bucks 60.
Yeah, Lillard has 9 points in 16 minutes on 2 of 5 shooting.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good early, but they're battling back. Of course, Indiana leads that series 1-0. They are in Indianapolis. Buck has a bet of the Thunder sweeping the Grizzlies. So far, so good. Oklahoma City hammering them by 50-plus in the first game, and they are already up 11 in game two, first quarter.
Make that 17.
Oh, damn. I need
40-23, 10 minutes to go in the second now.
Oh, my God. What a mismatch. 40-24, if we're being honest. And the big NBA story, at least locally, Peyton Pritchard of the Celtics and formerly of your Oregon Ducks has won NBA Sixth Man of the Year. And that is the first Oregon Duck to ever win that award. We'll have more on that coming up next on our show.
Yeah, that's really rad.
Isn't it?
That's the dude made 255 threes this year off the bench. That was good for fifth in the league.
Did you have any idea he'd be this good in the NBA?
Absolutely not. I mean, I thought he could be like some Oregon point guards who have gone to the NBA before. Aaron Brooks, who was a nice player for some people for a while. Luke Ridnour, who was a nice player for some people for a while. But a role guy, a fill-in, a backup point guard. He comes in as instant offense for a really good team, and it's been fun to watch.
The Hot 5-5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Let's get into some NBA stuff, including Peyton Pritchard winning Sixth Man of the Year Award. Coming up next on The Fan. The NFL Draft Pick Alert drop, because we always pick one drop.
I saw this.
Yeah, it's got to be this, doesn't it?
I love Tesla.
It's got to be.
I mean, it could be.
It's got to be.
It's called sports.
I think that's the one.
I love Tesla.
China.
We'll play the picks live Thursday.
I love cows.
And Andrew Nemec will be here to break it down.
They're eating the pets.
My big hot take is that Cam Ward will go number one overall.
Ooh,
to the Titans.
Bold.
You know, I saw that he was a zero-star recruit. He was just like a chubby.
Well, I know that
goofball.
Before he got to Washington State, he was an Incarnate Word.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine he was highly recruited.
Yeah, he was nothing. He was just a fat tub of lard. And now look. See, kids? You too can do it. You just have to be able to throw a ball really well.
Yeah, and transform from being a tub of lard.
Yeah, maybe put in a little work. Well, now to the NBA Sixth Man of the Year, Peyton Pritchard of your Oregon Ducks. I did look it up. He is the first. It's official. He is the first Oregon Duck to ever win the award.
Award-winning research and prep.
Yeah, I just had to scroll through the list of Sixth Men of the Year.
That's award-winning.
Goes all the way back to 1983. I don't think Bobby Jones played for Oregon, did he?
Not that I'm aware of. I thought Bobby Jones played golf.
Yeah. The basketball Bobby Jones. Or was he just that great of an athlete?
I don't know.
Kevin McHale won it twice. Do you know who is the only player to have won that award three times? Think of a great sixth man. And
Ginobili?
No, Ginobili won it once.
Man, I'm surprised he didn't win it more.
Yeah, that's true, but how many times did he come off the bench? Like, how many
years? I thought that was kind of his, like, main role when they were in their heyday, but maybe he was more of a starter then.
I thought he slid into the starting five. He
probably,
won it in
he
two,
probably did.
I'm sorry, what?
Said he probably did.
Slide yeah, I think he did. He won it in 2008.
But I don't know who the...
He's one of the best players to have won it. I mean, this is not like a who's who of names.
Oh, Big Shot Bob, maybe? Robert Horry?
No. I don't see him on here. He didn't.
No, that's more individual moments and playoffs, but I'm trying to think of other bench guys who've made significant impacts.
I mean, the best player to have won a Sixth Man of the Year is probably James Harden.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, that guy's an MVP.
2012. Manu, 2008. Detlef Schrempf won it twice. Uncle Cliffy won it. R.I.P. No, the player who won it three times, I'll give you the years, 2015, 18, and 19. He was legit off the bench. Like, he is the definition of a sixth man.
The definition of.
You're never going to get it, so I'm just going to
tell you. I don't have it.
Lou Williams.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's a bitch.
Whoa.
Yeah, Lou Williams won it three times. Only player ever to win it three times. So Peyton Pritchard won it this year. Naz Reid last year. Malcolm Brogdon, Tyler Hero, Jordan Clarkson. Like I said, it's not exactly a who's who. J.R. Smith.
Well, no, it's guys who can't who can't start for their team. So, you know.
Well, I know, but I'm just, you know, I thought maybe, yeah, I guess that's fair. Sixth men kind of suck.
They're not stars, you know. If they were, they'd be in the starting lineup.
Danny Manning, Tony Kukoc.
He was a great sixth man.
Kukoc?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure was. Probably should have been a starter on most teams.
I think he became one shortly thereafter.
Well, the forgotten star came through last night. We forgot about Kawhi Leonard. He's back.
Yeah.
He's actually healthy.
When available, pretty good still.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of him, man. Is he overrated or somehow underrated? Overrated because he just simply... It can't be counted upon.
Well, I mean, it's one of those incomplete grades, right? Where, I mean, at this point, he's overrated because he's never available to the degree he should be. But in a smaller sample size or in a vacuum, when he is playing, underrated.
Okay, so then he's just rated.
I guess. But if he's constantly sitting out, probably overrated.
I think he's a little overrated.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Based on his availability. It's just, I don't know, man. He, as good as he was last night, and the Clippers look good, they finished the season, what, like 18-3 or something? I don't have faith in him. And any other star, like superstar player, that had already won two titles, we would be terrified of them in the playoffs right now. But for some reason, we look at the Clippers and we go, eh, yeah, he'll probably get hurt. Or he won't come through, or this. I mean, he's awesome.
Or he's going to miss games.
Like. Yeah, exactly. You know, he can become just the fifth player. If Kawhi takes the Clippers to the title, he can become just the fifth player to win titles on three different teams.
Yeah, it doesn't happen much.
Can you name any of those players?
Boy.
LeBron is one.
Yeah.
And he's the big name here. The other three, not as big names. Big of names. The great John Sally.
Okay. Would not have got that one.
The great Robert Horry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the great Danny Green.
Oh, so he Spurs, Raptors, and...
Lakers. He won one with the Lakers.
The bubble championship?
I think so.
Okay.
Wasn't he on that team? He was hanging on for another ring?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So not exactly a who's who.
No.
But...
Not a lot of who's who's in this segment.
Did you see who the NBA players voted on the most overrated players in the league?
I did.
This is per the Athletic.
I think I saw this as I sent it to you.
Oh, yeah. You did send that to me. Hey, thanks for that.
Sure. I thought it might be a nice topic.
Award-winning show research. Yes. Are you surprised by who got...
A little bit.
35% of the votes?
A little bit.
Halliburton.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Pacers.
Now, I don't know how much of that is because, like, he just rode the bench on Team USA and he's, like, an Olympian who didn't play, or if it's just that there's not a lot that's flashy about his game. I mean, to the naked eye, it's a pretty pedestrian game that he has, but he's pretty damn good.
He's awesome. He's a star.
And he kind of took that title running away. I mean, if you look at the distribution of picks, I think he got, like... Now, it's only 14% of the players surveyed who felt that way, so it's not a huge percentage. But then the drop off is like to like 6% or something.
I thought his was 35%.
Oh, was it that high?
Yeah, and then next was Rudy Gobert at 30%.
Okay.
And both, I mean, I would say Gobert, I totally see where they're coming from in that. Halliburton, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe if he's not playing in Indiana and he's playing alongside LeBron, they're not saying that about him, are they? It's just that he's the key player on that, or he's, you know, supposedly the star on my Pacers.
But the fact that it's from the players and like not the media makes me think that our guys just not impressed with his game. Like what? Because I do think there's a big distinction in what the players think is overrated versus like what we talking heads or people on SportsCenter or whatever think is overrated.
No, that's true. Because Jimmy Butler's on this list. He's fourth.
Mm-hmm. And Draymond Green's on that list too. I think a little ways down.
Well, I can see the Green thing.
I do too. Yeah, definitely.
Old. But Jimmy,
Butler's interesting.
Jimmy Butler being fourth. So it goes Halliburton, Gobert, Trae Young, and then Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any fans would say Butler's overrated, would they? Why do players think he's over?
Well, he generates a lot of his points by going to the foul line. He doesn't have, like, his he's not a great shooter. He kind of creates, and a lot of what he brings to the table is some of that intangible stuff, like it's the grittiness and things like that, that I think he gets more out of less game than most guys. So they might just not think that he's naturally as good as some others, but it doesn't mean he can't ball. Does that make sense?
No, it does, yeah. No, I get it. I'm just looking at some of the other names on this list.
And that's just a guess at what other players might be thinking, that like, oh, it's not like he's that great, but he gets a lot out of what he has.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I can. Hold on one moment.
What the hell I did with it?
Probably deleted it. Bloop, bloop, loading, loading, bloop. Okay, yeah, I've got the list. So, oh no, yeah, so the one I'm looking at, 90 votes cast. I'm seeing Halliburton 14.4%.
What am I looking at?
Gobert 10%, Trae Young 8.9%, Jimmy Butler 5.5%, and then you get into four different guys who are all 4.5%. That's Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, Ja Morant, and Julius Randle. Then it drops to 3% Joel Embiid, and then a bunch of dudes at 2%.
Yeah, wasn't Giannis in there at 2%?
Giannis, Dylan Brooks, Paul George, Tyler Hero, Drew Holiday, Jaren Jackson, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma, Domantas Sabonis, Zion Holiday? Williamson.
Wow. I mean, most of those I see where they're coming from, but Holiday?
Probably not LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron.
I mean, but again, how you take overrated, if you think LeBron gets more hype than he should, I get how you maybe cast that vote, but that doesn't mean he's a bad basketball player.
Because he's not what he used to be.
Or just that he gets more attention than he deserves.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got one eye on the playoffs tonight. Although, well, I guess Lakers T-Wolves is tonight.
Yeah.
They tip at 7. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a fun one to watch later. That's a good series. Not all these, you know, these first round series, some of them are good, some of them are like, what?
But I think we do have some good ones. I mean, I think Pistons-Knicks in the East is going to be good. That's now even. I think that Clippers-Nuggets series is really fun. I mean, that's 1-1 now. And then I think that this Lakers-T-Wolves one may go deep. I'm not convinced on the Warriors' depth either. The Rockets are still really talented. We'll see what happens there. But I think we got a lot of fun brewing.
Yeah, Rockets-Warriors could get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Game one wasn't – I mean, Rockets couldn't do anything.
No. But I don't know that that'll last. Yeah. And also the Warriors got everything they needed out of both their stars, and that might not happen.
Where are the Blazers? Are they in it?
No, they're not in it. Mm. Just missed the play-in. They were so close.
Can I also point out that Oklahoma City is a small market, and they have the sixth lowest payroll in the league?
Yeah.
But they're the best team. They said via net rating, they're the best team since Mike Jordan's Bulls. Do you remember Michael Jordan?
I've heard of him.
Best team since then. And they're from Oklahoma City, a market as small, if not smaller, than Portland, and they have the sixth lowest payroll in the league. Now, how does that make a Blazer fan feel?
Not great. Not great.
You could also add in Cleveland. You know what I mean? That's a smaller market, right? Isn't Cleveland pretty small comparatively?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
I would think so.
And they have they're middle of the pack in payroll, and they're the number one seed in the East, and they have a player akin to Damian Lillard as their star. How does that make Blazer fans feel? Look, I'm not trying to twist a knife here. I'm just saying. Come on. It can be done. Small markets, low payrolls. What are the Blazers doing?
It remains incredibly frustrating for that fan base.
Hey, would you want... I saw Jerry Jones speaking today. And I thought of this.
Smiles and glory holes.
He was saying that they're talking about some substantive trades, whatever that means. If I gave
in the draft or outside of the draft?
Outside. Well, I think I mean probably both. He said they're just talking about trades right now. I don't know. I don't know what that means. You know, Jerry.
Sure.
Would you want him as your owner? Like, I'll give him to
you.
Wait a minute. I'm trading out Jodes.
Oh.
She's out.
If you get
Jerry's in. Yes.
Yeah.
Jerry's
yes.
old, so he's going to die.
And he's incredibly meddling.
Yes, and his kids are going to run it.
But you know what? He cares a lot, and I will always take the owner who cares a lot over the one who's out to lunch.
Okay.
Collecting the check.
Jerry over Jodes, huh?
Yes, no question.
Love that.
That's to me, as tough as it is to see an owner who wants to play GM and coach and all of that, It's 10 times worse than having the owner who is absent, who you never see, who you don't know if they care. That is brutal.
All right, there's a little hot, very smoking hot NBA talk for you here on a Tuesday. Coming up next, Fun with Audio, Lee Corso edition, and other Tuesday samplers, including the latest on Shannon Sharpe's lawsuit. But first, Buckwa Sports Center. I thought this was fake, but it's not. It's real, and you're going to hear it. First, we have Lee Corso audio. You know, we have to honor the man. We make fun of him a lot. I mean, come on. He's a mess on that game day show. I get it, he had a stroke, but...
By all accounts, he really loved doing it, and it felt like he was more of a mascot than an analyst for the last few years, and it's been really tough.
I think that sometimes you have to protect people from themselves.
I 100% agree, like, especially here.
It'd be like if, you know, let's say Suk and I keep doing this until we're 85, and Suk's had a stroke, and it's just, he's incoherent now, you know, and... I'm just still trying to tee him up and lob him softballs, and he just can't quite hit it like he used to. And people are, it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. People are like, God, Rob, what? Is he okay? Like, what's going on?
Well, and the tough part is that everyone could tell that he wasn't okay.
But why are we putting him on there?
And there are even stories like people had written in publications that like Kirk Herbstreit's holding his hand under the desk and stuff like that. I mean, he shouldn't have been on that set for as long as he was, but that doesn't mean he wasn't great at what he did and wasn't kind of a pioneer in the space of being. I mean, like you said, I think it was you said he was kind of like Dick Vitale for college football. Like he's been a constant. He loves the game. He's been great for it, but it doesn't mean it hasn't run its course.
We love Big Suk, but if Big Suk's 85 and slurring and not making any sense over there, we're not. Even if he wants to be on,
agree.
He's not on.
We're on the same page here.
All right. Well, we have to honor him though. He's leaving. Lee Corso's done on College Game Day after week one of this year. And I heard two clips. Actually, one I love, but I wanted to play you a couple of others because you got to go all the way back to 1993 when Corso made his first headgear pick. And I can't say that I had seen this, but it looks like they're at Notre Dame. I think they're at Notre Dame.
They are. It's a Notre Dame Florida State game, and they're in some athletic department hall. Like they're not doing an outdoor production at this point. I think that came later on game day, but this was their first road show, and it was in South Bend.
Yeah, and of course he played at Florida State. Remember, so he's in this clip. You know, he's being a little bit of a homer. Now I will tell you that Notre Dame ended up winning this game. But he was pretty close on the final score. At any rate, I guess I just never have seen or heard this clip of the very first headgear pick and what it turned into. They were in South Bend. They were hosting Florida State, 1-2. He's a Florida State guy. So they were just kind of hanging out in front of a bunch of trophies and stuff. But they did have the students over on the side kind of roped off, like yelling and screaming. So it was like it was like one of the first college game days. And here is how it sounded when Corso made the pick.
I like Charlie Ward. I like his scramble ability. Watch a goal line defense. I like a blocked punt by Florida State. I'll take Florida State. 31-30. Hey! 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 I'll take Notre Dame. 31-30.
Well, then he went back to Florida State. So he switched his pick. But 31-30, the final was 31-24. In favor of Notre Dame. But that's how it all started. And I don't know that had anything to do with other than he was a Florida State guy. Like, in other words, I don't think it was something that was born out of, hey, we should do this real fun bit where you put on the headpiece.
Well, and at this point, and I watched the video, it wasn't even a headgear. Like,
it was a hat.
Yeah, it was just like a baseball hat of each school.
And I just wonder if it didn't just start there because he happened to be a Florida State guy.
He was just doing a
goofy
bit.
For that one time.
Maybe.
And it turned into what it's turned into. Here is my favorite. Well, actually, no, I'm going to play the F it one. This is what Lee Corso is most known for. One of his finer moments on College Game Day.
All right, Cal, how can you pick against SMU? Look at them over there. Red, white, and blue. USA. USA!
Hey! Glad there's a delay.
Shasta, shame on you. Watch that mouth out. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that was Houston SMU.
Yeah, and that was Carl Lewis was on set with them.
Carl Lewis loved it.
Yeah.
He went crazy.
That was him clapping the whole time.
You know who I just... You know who I'm comparing Lee Corso to in my head, and I just drew the parallel just as he said that? Because I worked with a guy like this locally, Mike Rice.
Okay.
He's a lot like Mike Rice because... I did Talk and Ball with Mike Rice, and let me tell you something. Mike Rice, that dude was not, he was going to say whatever he wanted. You are not going to corral Mike Rice. So I think like when guys like that, Corso, whoever, when they're dropping F-bombs, you know they're just being themselves because they don't give an, they really don't care.
Yeah.
It's like he could have filtered that out. He doesn't care to. And Mike Rice was like that. He's like, you deal with it. I'm going to say this. And then last, the best one of all. This was Yale, Harvard?
I think that's right.
Go Bulldogs!
Yale Bulldogs!
Wow.
Not so fast, midget! Not so fast!
Midget?
Yeah, little guy. Hey, not so fast. I go with Harvard. What's the matter?
I'm going to go with Harvard.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Harvard as well. Oh, you're great.
So awkward. Not so fast, midget. You midget? Yeah, little guy.
Yeah, little guy. Like, he has zero idea that was maybe un-PC. He's just like, why wouldn't I call him that?
Exactly. Very Mike Rice of him. I'm telling you. Well, never forget, there are two men tied for third all-time in Florida State history in interceptions.
And Lee Corso's one of them?
Deion Sanders and Lee Corso.
I love that. And that's a great bar trivia.
Yes, and there is a funny clip of Deion, of them on game day telling Deion that as coach of Colorado, and Deion was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Hold on a second.
Whoa,
not so
bro,
fast, my friend.
Not so, he would say, well, they weren't throwing at me back then, you know. They wouldn't throw at me.
Sure. I mean, that's true, but also that's cool for Lee.
All right, there's a little Lee Corso audio. Rest in peace. I mean, he didn't die.
At no, least. Rest in peace his career on game day.
Not yet, yeah. All right, our Tuesday sample is the latest on Shannon Sharp. The audio, not so good. Next on The Fan.
Here's what I think. I think a couple teams had like really fun, creative things going on, and then there was almost this thing going around baseball. Well, if you don't have one of those, then clearly you don't have like the clubhouse chemistry. So everyone was almost forced to come up with their own special thing, and a lot of them don't work.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. At this point, I just watched the Toronto, some, I don't know why I'm watching Toronto, Houston.
Do they still do the jacket or the blazer?
Yeah,
or
it's a blazer.
Yeah, it's not cool.
The Mets last night, did Lindor hit that bomb? And
did they do a sombrero?
No, there's two guys next to him, and they go all the way to the end of the dugout, because that's where the camera guy is,
uh-huh.
And they pose for the camera with an OMG sign.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
The Twins put on a fishing vest. A Twins fishing vest.
Who does the shopping cart?
Dodgers? I don't know. No, somebody, and then somebody else did a wheelbarrow, I thought. And then, of course, you have the dong bong up in Baltimore.
Yeah. But that's, oh yeah, the dong bong. Yeah, see, that they were one of the originals.
Yeah, they were.
That's a pretty good
bit. And now apparently they do something called the bird bath at Camden Yards, too, where they have like people with a fire hose on the fence out in the bleachers just spray down everybody in the bleachers with water after a home run. They call it the bird bath.
Really?
Yeah.
What if it's like ice cold out?
I don't know. But people were asking if it was a little too much that they were doing it when they put up 18 runs on the Reds and they were still birdbathing out there.
Attorneys for the woman accusing Shannon Sharp of rape released a recording of a conversation they say she had with the NFL Hall of Famer, in which he apparently threatened to choke her. Now, here is the he said, she said part of this story. Now, he's being sued for $50 million. By, I don't know, some Instagram. By the way, I looked her up yesterday.
What's it? It's Gabrielle or Gabriella Zuniga?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that, worth the trouble there?
Wasn't the, well, also, wasn't it that we think he like, met her in public, not online? Like, she was, it was a gym thing, right?
Yeah, he met her at the gym.
Right. So, I mean, it's different than, I guess, like, him sliding into some random Instagram hot's DMs. I think, you know, happened organically, and he's thought, you know.
Yeah, I suppose.
He probably thought, I'll get an Ian.
Well, he did.
Yeah, he did.
In the recording, a woman whom the attorneys identified as the plaintiff suing Sharp under the name of Jane Doe tells Sharp not to manipulate her.
I'll get it in.
If you say that word one more time, I'm going to effing choke the S out of you when I see you.
Ooh.
A voice resembling Sharp says in the recording obtained by People Magazine. After a pause, the woman says she doesn't want to be choked. He says, yes, you do. I don't think you have a choice in the matter.
Oh.
The plaintiff sued Sharp, with whom she had been engaged in a nearly two-year relationship in Nevada, accusing him of raping her on two different occasions. Okay, so this is the he said, she said. What Sharp's people are claiming is that that is doctored, and she's not giving you the full context of the conversation where they used to joke about sex and choking and things like that. Doesn't sound like it was joking.
And we learned yesterday that the claims on his side were that she was editing audio. So,
yeah, that's not the full version. That's what they're saying.
So, out of context, that's horrible. In context, it may still be horrible, right. But if she's manipulated, it's hard for us to know.
Right. Although I think it still kind of sounds horrible.
Definitely.
Or else they wouldn't have released it. In a statement, Sharp's attorney, Lanny Davis, described the lawsuit as a shakedown attempt and claimed that the relationship between the accuser and Sharp was consensual. The statement said Sharp categorically denies the allegations and called this a gross lie. Now, a couple things you need to know that have come out. One is they were about to settle for $10 million before she filed the lawsuit. So there are reports he was close to cutting her a check. And I wonder if maybe now he doesn't wish he had. I don't know. But,
boy, or that she doesn't wish that she didn't just wait if $10 million was really coming.
Well, she did wait. Now she's, oh, you mean well, wait like, on and the not, lawsuit?
And not, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, if the $10 million was going to show up and now maybe it's not because it's being fought in court, I don't know. Yeah,
something happened.
I mean, she might have fumbled the bag or maybe he fumbled his own bag. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he's willing to settle for $10 million.
Then he's got some culpability.
I feel
here.
Like he's yeah. fumbling the bag. Because otherwise, he'd be handling it like he is now, which is, oh, this is wrong, and I'm going to sue you. He is now saying he's going to sue her, which I think does, I mean, look, that would be what I would consider doing if I had a bunch of money and resources and high-powered attorneys. If I'm being accused of something I didn't do, I would be so livid, I'm suing your ass. And he said he's going to do that. He hasn't seen that yet, but the other thing is that Tony Busby, who is the Deshaun Watson attorney, he's representing the woman. There are now reports that he is vetting another Shannon Sharp accuser.
Ooh.
So there could be more coming here. And it just sounds to me like Shannon Sharp.
Might kind of be what he does.
Bad dude.
Pattern
yeah.
behavior, perhaps.
Yeah. Not good.
Well, that's why, we have a court of law, I suppose.
That's right. That's right, Buckley.
Or we could send him to El Salvador.
Send him to court. What's in El Salvador?
That's where we're sending people who don't like now.
Why there?
Because they'll take them.
Why would they take them?
I don't know. It's
going on out there.
I don't know.
Well, at least he loves Tesla.
That's right.
So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that story. Kind of a wild one. Hard to know who to believe. Well, you're right. Let's take it to court.
I love Tesla. Everything's computer.
And... until it's a hung jury like the
Karen Reed
trial. But I tell you, you don't want to go to trial on something like that, do you?
Dude.
All that stuff gets out, gets presented, public record?
No, you do. And that's the tough thing, I think, for athletes. Like it, like we said, maybe he's culpable, maybe it's a pattern. But even if it's not, there's still a significant possible damage to your reputation going and making this fight public in court. And maybe it is worth shelling out $10 million to just not have those conversations in front of the world.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. I think, yeah, when you're getting sued for $50 million, you got deep pockets like Shannon Sharp. Sometimes it can be less stressful to just pay them, even if you didn't do it, if you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go.
And then you get the court of public opinion saying, well, then why'd you pay? But, I mean,
well, that's when you make
if it saves you the headache. Then
yeah, but they don't know. that they pay. They just all amount. This is one of those deals where automatically the lawsuit goes away. The woman won't talk because she had to sign an NDA because Sharp said, if I'm going to give you this money, you're going to shut your hole and never talk of this again. And so then we don't really know what happened, but we assume that they settled.
Smiles and glory holds.
Is that where your head went with that?
Let's hate, man.
No, actually, that came as a comment from the YouTube chat, and I just followed. So,
someone asked, did Mike Rice drink at post-game shows? I saw one episode he dressed like a wizard. His mic cord got all wrapped around him, all while I was holding a mug of some kind of beverage. No, not as far as I know. I don't think he drank much. The wild one. He was just wild. He was wild without the booze.
Naturally wild.
He was an animal, that guy. I'm telling you. He was fun. Fun to work with. I couldn't stand him as a broadcaster, though, because he was such a homer. It's like, God, dude. I also think he stepped all over. You remember the call? Was it the, I think it was the first Lillard game winner.
Was it against Houston?
Yeah, Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
I remember the call of that. He stepped all over Barrett on that.
See, I was in the Bay Area for that, so I only got, I think it was, Tirico had a sensational call on ESPN for that one, but I never heard the local call of what that was.
Yeah, you might be able to find it.
I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah, and... In classic Mike Rice fashion, if I'm remembering it, I think it was that call. He starts, like, Barrett's doing, you know, like, call, like that was an iconic moment.
Right.
And Barrett's calling it, and I think Rice is bitching about the refs or something.
Oh, no. Because it's one thing, I mean, you hear it in football a lot where, you know, somebody's about to break a big run, and the guy goes, oh, and like, he's just reacting like that over the call. But to be crying about the refs after something, like, read the moment.
Yeah. Just lay out. If you don't have anything good to say.
Well, he thought it was something good to say. Worthwhile, even.
Pitching about the refs. That was him, though. He just kind of said what he wanted to when he wanted to. All right, coming up next, it's the Club Hour. We'll have some fun with Australian audio and talk about the Karen Reid doc next on The Fan.